So while the kids were cruising out of here, we've been talking about generosity, and this is the culmination, the wrapping up of this generosity series that we've been in for quite a while. And I wanted to tell you, as the kids were going, and I tried to think of a way to say that this with the kids here, but it didn't quite fit. But my wife and I actually went through one of these Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University courses recently, and one of the things that we experienced or learned in there, and we've just recently put this in practice, but just one of the coolest things, and I want to share this with you as kind of an example of a practical way to teach our kids about generosity. So Dave Ramsey, who controls my life now, says to try this, to give your kids a commission. You've got your chores that you just have to do because you're a part of the family, right? And you just do those. But then identify a few jobs that the kids can do around the house, and you pay them a commission for doing their job. If they don't do their job, they don't get a commission, right? So you're teaching them how life works. But when you pay them their commission, you divide it into thirds. So, you know, for the tasks our kids do, we give them a quarter for each one, and one quarter goes in the spend jar with a big smiley face on it, one goes in the save jar, and one goes in the give jar. And I'm sitting there looking at those jars this morning and realizing, wow, that guy's a genius. We're teaching our kids that it's normal to give away a third of what you make. So our kids are going to grow up. What are they going to be like as adults who, if this sticks, right, and if we're consistent, it's so hard, and they grow up thinking that's just what you do. You give away a third of what you make. And then I realized, oh my gosh, we got a lot of work to do to catch up with how generous our kids are. Well, let's get started. Today's scripture comes from Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to read this. You're just going to have to listen. You can't read along. Oh, wait, it's on those sheets that you've got, isn't it? The little handouts. If you got the discussion guide, I think it's printed on the back. I'm going to be reading from a slightly different translation this morning, though. Acts 2, 42 to 47. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and their possessions and were sharing with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind, they met in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They took their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Okay, 5 weeks in, I got to say thank you. Thank you for bearing with this series on generosity. It's hard to talk about money. It's hard to talk about money when you're asking ourselves to think about returning it to God. I know this is a challenging subject. And it is something that we, as a church in North America, have tried to separate. Money goes over here, God goes over here, and it is hard to wed those things back together. And I just thank you. I thank you for taking this seriously. I thank you for being open to God challenging you and growing. And thank you for sharing with me the ways that this is challenging you and the things that you're learning. I know that I am learning a ton. And the thing I want to kind of summarize before I jump into the text is what I've realized is that generosity, it's not really about giving money away. Generosity is about an attitude of our heart. A generous spirit is one that values other people as much as we value ourselves. It happens. Generosity happens when we just turn ourselves outward and we look at other people and we're as concerned for them as we are for ourselves. When we feel that way, when we think that way, generosity is the way that we use our time and the way we think about our time. Generosity is the way that we use our gifts and our abilities. Generosity is the way we use our resources. Generosity becomes what we do when we love. Generosity is simply the visible expression of love. Think about it. When you love your kids, it actually says in the Bible, if one of your kids asks you for bread, you're not going to give them a snake, right? Because we love our kids. When we love, generosity is just what we do. In the early church, the church that we read about in Acts, I think we see generosity being expressed in three main ways. In the passage we just read, three ways. First of all, they were generous towards God. I'm going to explain that in a minute. They were generous with their possessions. Mostly, they were generous with their life together. Generous towards God. You could say this is about worship and study. The passage says that they every day gathered in the temple. And every time they got together, wherever it was, the subject, the point, was joyful hearts praising God. I don't know about you, but most days, for me, God is, frankly, kind of an afterthought. It's a good day when, at some point in the day, I started a task thinking about God. But most of the time, I get to the end of the day, and I'm like, I kind of left God out of my plans, didn't I? I mean, you've got kids to get dressed in the morning, not to mention getting yourself dressed, getting your kids to school on time. You've got events to get the kids to afterwards. You've got a job and bills to pay and so much to do. It's easy for God to be an afterthought. But the church in Acts started with God. They were generous by giving themselves away to God. They freely carved out time and space. They chased after God in worship and prayer. Now, even though I'm not that good at it, I know this is where it all begins. Giving ourselves away to God. God, I'm yours. My life is yours. Everything I have belongs to you. And you know what? This is something that we don't ever finish doing. But it's also something that we won't do at all if we don't do it on purpose. Giving ourselves away to God. What would it look like for you this morning to pledge to give yourself away to God? The church in Acts also began to sell their possessions and give to anybody who had need. Do you see how radical that is? They began to see the need of their neighbor as more important than their possessions. Wow. In our small group last week, somebody mentioned that generosity, it only feels like generosity when it hurts a little bit to give. Somebody, this person said, it feels like generosity when I have to give something up to be able to give. That's generous. For the church in Acts, it was worth it. They considered other people worth it. They considered their neighbor worth it. They loved their neighbor enough to sell their possessions in order to be able to give and to meet people's needs. So they were generous with their stuff. Lastly, the early church was generous with their lives together, their time, their homes, their hearts. I love this. The heart of the church experience in Acts was meeting together in homes. Church happened in their dens, in their family rooms, and around the table. That was the closest thing they had to a church program or a ministry. Gosh, if only we had a setting like that where small groups of people got together and shared a meal together and prayed and sought Jesus together. What would that look like? The answer is small groups. Come on, somebody help me. Small groups. The church in Acts, they were generous to the point where they threw open their homes and their lives and their hearts to one another. They generously gave themselves away to each other So what happened? What was the result of their generosity? There's two things. It says that they had favor with all the people, not just the people in the church. They had favor with everybody. Well, can you imagine? I mean, I've got books and books in my office that talk about the shifts that are happening in culture today, in the North American cultural context. And one of the most significant themes that you read about over and over again is that the church in North America has lost its privileged position. Whereas 30, 40, 50 years ago, church would be considered one of the pillars of society, right? Of culture. But today, the media and entertainment, they don't respect the church. They freely take pot shots at us whenever they can. Truthfully, most of the time we deserve it. Even like sporting events for our youth. It's not just now that they plan activities on Wednesday nights. They've got activities on Sunday mornings. They don't respect the church. The truth of the matter is, the only people who look on the church with favor, it's us. And that's only when we're getting along. The church in Acts was so generous. They gave themselves away to one another and to the world in need in such a way that the community looked at their life together and they liked it. The community looked at the church and the way they loved each other and the way that they loved people around them, and it made them smile. What would it look like for our church to love each other and to love our neighbor and our community that way? What would it take for us to love one another in such a way that our neighbors out here looked at our life together and said, I like that. I want that. Speaking of wanting that, the text goes on to say, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here at the end, we come to the main point. Generosity, above everything else, comes down to the fact that people matter. People's souls matter. They mattered so much to God that He generously gave His only Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. People matter. Ultimately, generosity is about shaping our lives around the goal of connecting a desperate world with the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Generosity is about pouring the love of God out on people who need it. Here at the end, my prayer is that we would grow to care so much about connecting people with Jesus, with our generous and giving God, that we would go to any length to do it, maybe even selling our possessions in order to meet their needs. Over the last 4 weeks or so, we've been, a lot of you have this generosity devotion book, and you've been going through the daily devotions. And for me, my favorite story in this book, my take home from this series, if you will, is the story about the church that decided to build a hospital in Malawi. Now, I mean, aside from the connection to Malawi, which made it exciting, this is the most compelling story I've read in a long time. This church decides that they're going to build this hospital in a region of Malawi that is not served by a hospital at all. People have to walk 100 miles or something to get to the hospital. The problem is the hospital is going to cost $160,000. $160,000. The church in their history had never raised more than $25,000 on a single fundraising project. $25,000, but their goal is $160,000. It seems daunting, it seems impossible, but they are compelled by this vision to give sacrificially, to live in such a way that they're able to do this. And the vision catches on. People start getting together in circles to figure out how to do this together. Kids in neighborhoods get together and form lemonade stands to raise money for the hospital. It says in the book that one couple decides to donate the money they had saved for fertility treatments Those aren't cheap. They decide to give that to the hospital because they were more compelled by the vision of giving to these kids in Africa than they were to being able to have their own kids. The book says another lady gave up a month of physical therapy. It doesn't say why she was in physical therapy or how often she's going, but for a month she stops. So she can give that. The money she would be writing there, she gives that to the hospital in Africa. And the stories go on. Then something amazing starts to happen. People outside their church start hearing about it. People outside the church start catching on to this vision. People that weren't even Christian start calling them up and saying, how can I get involved? How can I give? They enjoyed the favor of all the people. The church ends up, this church that had never raised more than $25,000, this church that needs $160,000 to build a hospital, they end up raising $500,000, enough for three hospitals in Africa. Because people sacrificed, people did whatever they could. They did it together, and the energy was contagious. They began selling their possessions and giving to everyone as anyone had need. The pastor of the church is so amazed by what he sees happening that he starts using this phrase, generosity is the new evangelism. The impact on their community, on the unchurched people around them, the impact is so substantial. Generosity, he says, is the new evangelism. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Love that story. I love that story because it plants generosity firmly in the scope of loving other people. This is not, as I've said several times, this is not about guilt. This is not about obligation. This is not about what you're supposed to do. My prayer and my hope is that the love of God would pour into you so richly and so deeply that the overflow of that love would be your generosity. My prayer is that you would so know how much God loves you. And you would know how much God loves our neighbor. And you wouldn't be able to help but live generously. During the next song, we're going to be collecting our generosity offering. Hopefully, on your way in, you were given a pledge card. This will be an opportunity for you to just say, I want to live generously, and here's how I'm going to do it. We're going to take some time and pray. We're going to have a moment of silence for you to consider, for you to prayerfully listen. I want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, 100% of this offering goes out the door to show the love of God to our community. 100%. This is not about paying our bills. This is about loving our neighbor. One last reminder, living generously goes so far beyond an offering. Living generously is the way we give ourselves to God, the way we share life together with one another, the people you just greeted or maybe met. Generosity is about the way we love our neighbor. It's not a special offering, it's a lifestyle. It is the lifestyle that our generous and giving God calls us to. Take some time now as we pray, as we have some silence, and as we sing. Take some time to consider, how is God calling you to give yourself away every day? Let's pray.